All right. Praise the Lord. Love the Christmas season. Amen. This is so nice, especially when it's like spring. That makes it even nicer. I know you're wanting snow. Well, you still may get snow for Christmas. That's all right. We still have plenty of time. But I looked at the thermometer up here on the little thermostat thing there, and I think it's 69 or 70, and it's warm in here, and probably the air will kick on sometime, and that's hard to imagine in December. So praise the Lord for that. We are on lesson number 5. Do you need lesson 5? Anyone need lesson number 5? All right, boy, Brother Harnden, you did a good job. Praise the Lord. All right, we are studying Ephesians 1, verses 15 to 23, and our lesson verse is Ephesians 1, 17. So let's say that together. We'll say the reference and then the verse and then the reference again. All right, and begin. Ephesians 1, 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 1, 17. And again, Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 1, 17. Father, thank you for the beautiful day you've given to us, and thank you that there's no ice and snow to have to fight to get into church today. The buses could run, and we not have to deal with any of that right now, and we just rejoice over the season, and the birthday of a king is what we celebrate, and we thank you for being our king, and I pray that you will speak to hearts now and use this time to be profitable to us as we study your word. It is your word, and we realize how powerful it is. If we'll just listen, we'll let it soak in. God, our lives can be changed, and so I pray you'll do that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, lesson number 5. We are on capital B of our outline, Roman numeral 2, capital B, and capital A was our possessions in Christ. Capital B is our potential in Christ, and again, verses 15 through 23, and Ephesians 1:15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I will mention that in different outlines, this is my own outline that I put together, but I read lots of commentaries, and many outlines simply show this passage of Scripture as a prayer from Paul, which it is, and he says, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, and so many have commentators will have, you know, they'll outline everything, then they'll put they call it a parenthesis, and then it's Paul's prayer. Certainly, it's kind of like it's interjected, in other words, and I would not argue that. But I think we can get some things out of this prayer that tie in very well with the doctrine, realizing our blessings and realizing, as I said, capital B, our potential in Christ. There's a potential for every one of us, and there are that is outlined. That is really what Paul is praying, and you'll see that as we, especially as we kind of talk about the introduction here. To this section, the potential that we have, and again, that is part of that doctrinal thing that we talked about, the realizing our blessings. What happened when I got saved, and what does it all mean? Well, it means I have potential. It means that there are some things, and the thing that I believe Paul is praying is that the Ephesians might, the people there at Ephesus might realize their potential. They might realize just what it means to be saved. I hope we're not Christians who just say, okay, that's it, because that's not it. God has something for us. God has much for each of us. And so there is potential. And so Paul's prayer as a, and many will call it a pastoral type prayer, because Paul was, though he was not the pastor of the church, he was a he had a love for the people and a leadership for the people as a pastor would, and he wanted them to see their potential. As a pastor, I want my people to realize the potential that they have, what God can do with them, and how important. You know, I don't know of any time that is more, and I'll preach about this next week, probably more specifically, but to recognize the Christmas story and all the things that seem unimportant. A star. Now, I know in the city, we don't see stars very often, but when you live out in the country, if you travel, you drive up and down the highways, you can see the stars in the sky, and we don't think anything of it. And yet, how important is that star in the Christmas story? We talk about it all the time. It seems to be very important. A stable, you know, that little stable. You think about this. If they were to have tour guides of Bethlehem years and years ago, you know, back in 2,000 years ago, and they would have brochures advertising Bethlehem, I don't think that stable would have mattered. What do you think? I don't think the manger would have mattered. Do you understand? I don't think the shepherds would have mattered. And yet, with Jesus, with the Lord, everything has potential. You may sit here today and think, you know, I really don't matter. But you do matter. You do matter to the Lord. He has given you potential. And if you could just see it, and I think that is what Paul's prayer really is all about, is our potential, seeing our potential. And so I want to start off with some thoughts on that. He goes on, and I'm going to give you a little introduction here in reference to this. Again, when Paul prays, we do have a pastoral type attitude, and I believe a compassion in his heart. This passage, verses 14 all the way through verse 21, it really is this idea of him praying for the people. He does this, Philippians 1, go back there, go to Philippians chapter 1, and several times we see this type of prayer. Philippians 1 and verse 9, it says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Again, here's his prayer for the people. Colossians, same thing, Colossians 1 and verse 9. Again, these are letters to churches, and so Paul, being very involved in those churches, praying for the folks, letting them know what he's praying. Colossians 1 verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." See it again, increasing in the knowledge. To know what your potential is, to know what God wants for you. He talks about his will and wisdom and spiritual understanding. And then he kind of caps it off, "strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." And again, his prayer here, "giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light." So it's not a surprise for Paul to include these prayers. The desire, the heart. This could be the heart of a parent for their child. It could be the heart of a Sunday school teacher for their class. It could be the heart of a grandparent for a grandchild. I mean, honestly, these are things that we just want you to reach your potential. And that is what Paul's request now, as we're going to delve into it a little bit further, it's not for God to give them the things they don't have. That's most how we pray. But it is kind of different. Paul's prayer is not for God to give them what they don't have, but for God to reveal to them what they already have. You know, as a pastor, I recognize so many times a person will sit and talk to me, or we'll talk somewhere, and they'll say, you know, I just wish I could have this, or I wish I could do this, or I wish, and in my mind I'm thinking, yeah, but you already can, and you already do, and you already, well, that's kind of what this passage is about. It's about God showing us, opening our eyes. Remember the servant with the man of God, and they're surrounded by the enemy. And the servant is saying, what are we going to do? We're all going to die. And the man of God prays, and he says, Lord, show him and open his eyes. And the servant, you know, next thing, he kind of blinks, and he opens his eyes, and there's angels surrounding all of the enemy. And you know, that's kind of what this is about. It's God revealing to us what we already have. And Paul wants them to see it. Paul wants them to understand it. Paul wants them to get it. And so there's two things by way of introduction, and I really didn't give you much room to write any of this down, but you just write it somewhere on there. Two things about enlightenment, all right? He talks in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know. You know, so you can understand, so you can see it, all right? It's already there, but you can see. It's kind of like when you lose something. Do we ever really lose anything? Well, it's somewhere, so it's not really lost. You just can't see it, right? You know, it happens all the time. That little doodad that falls, you know, you're in the bathroom and a little doohickey falls and it's landed somewhere. You heard it fall. With me, that was contact lenses. You know, I remember I could hear it. I heard it fall. And I knew it fell because I'm blind. And so, you know, I remember so well. And I'd look and look and look and look and look and look, and it's gone. No, it's not gone. I just can't see it. And so many times it's true with us. There are so many things that God has for us, and they're there. We just can't see them. But the Spirit has to enlighten us so that we can see it. And so the Spirit enlightens. Verse 17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Wisdom and revelation. Revelation, to shine a light, to reveal those things. It's like if I drop that little doodad on the floor, and then I look and look and look and look, and I can't find it. But then I get a flashlight out, and so that it will help reveal whatever that is that I've dropped. That's kind of what it's talking about here. So that's revelation. But wisdom then, to know what to do with whatever it is that has been revealed. What do I do with it? I need both. I need God not only to shine his light and show me what it is that he has given me, but then I need to know, what do I do with that? I don't know what to do with this thing. You know, you're maybe searching under your cupboard or whatever it might be, and you have a flashlight, and there's a little plastic thing under there, and you pull that thing out, and you start, and you have no idea what's this go to? You know, and you have no idea, and it's like I want to know what this, you know, I found this thing under here, and it had to be important at one time or another, but I don't even know what it goes to. You know, it happens to us all the time, right? And well, in the Christian life, there are things that God has given to us that when he reveals it to us, we then need to know, what do I do with this? And that's wisdom and revelation. Many verses talk about that type of thing. John 14, verse 25. John chapter 14 and verse 25. And again, this is one of the fun things about Christianity. It is one of the exciting things about being a Christian, is the things that we have that God has provided, and as we learn about them. How about prayer life? Remember the first time God answered your prayer, and you knew that God answered that prayer. You know, I know when I first got saved, I didn't even know I could pray. I knew I prayed when I got saved, but I didn't know, you know, I didn't know about asking God for things. I didn't know the verse, ye have not because ye ask not. I didn't know any of those things. And the first time I prayed and God answered my prayer specifically and I knew it was God. Boy, that's a lot of fun. That is so exciting to realize that. You know, there are Christians all over the world that have, they've not tapped into that. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've not really tapped into a real relationship with God where he answers your prayer. Now, I'm not talking about weird stuff and, you know, where God will make you fly when you want to fly and God will do this and heal everything that happens, you know, and all this stuff. I'm talking about just practical living where there's a God in heaven that cares about you. And he really wants you to ask. Amen. John 14, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Isn't that a blessing, senior citizens? I love that. He brings everything that I need to my remembrance, but we do recognize that some of those things apparently I don't need because, anyway, whatsoever I've said unto you, and how many times is God, that's another one of those things he revealed, the scripture that he brings to remembrance when I need it. Now, if you never memorize any, then it doesn't come up, but he'll bring it to your remembrance. I don't know how many times Bible verses I memorized in Bible college that if I don't use them, you know, I memorize them. I took a test with them, amen. And all those verses, but how many times, maybe in the middle of a message, God will remind me of a verse and I'll be able to share that, or in counseling or something like that, or when I'm working on a message and God reminds me. There's just so many things that, again, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. That is a working of God in our lives. That is a supernatural working of God in my life. And he's revealing things. He's teaching me things. He's showing me things. Now, here's one of the a passage that makes it clear that this isn't for everybody. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Again, we're still on an introduction here. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, just understanding the way God reveals things to us. In 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, it talks about, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It's not an average thing. It's not, God has so much for us. But we go through our lives so many times just kind of ignoring all that. We don't pay attention to that. And how sad. But notice verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I hear people, well, I just want to know the deeper things of God. Do you really? Do you want to know the deep things of God that will change your life? Well, no, I don't want to be disturbed. That's why you're not going to learn the deep things of God. You know, God has so much for us, and God reveals them to us by his Spirit. Now, he's not going to do it apart from the Word of God and from the preaching of the Word and all the things that God's provided where we can learn these things. You're not going to quench the Holy Spirit of God and have things revealed because you're quenching the revealer. But as we yield and we walk with him, he shows us things that are awesome. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And there is that which, as the preacher preaches, and you know, I've had people say, well, pastor, you taught me something this, you taught this, and I try to do that, but there is no teaching like the Holy Spirit's teaching. There is so much that a pastor can speak. There's so much a teacher can teach. But then there's the Holy Spirit of God who isn't teaching. He's revealing. And he's showing you exactly what it is that that verse means and how it applies to your life. It's not just what it means. It's how does it apply to me? And what does it mean for me? And comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But notice verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. That's the unsaved person. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so the unsaved person looks around and says, this is all silly. The unsaved person thinks it's foolishness. The world has become, and I say has become, it always has been, but it's anti-God, anti-Christ, and now we're starting to see it even more and more and more as we celebrate Christmas. They look at us like, what baby? You know, what are you talking about? And Xmas becomes more, you know, that's the prevalent way to speak of Christmas. Because it's take Christ out of the equation. We don't want to talk about that. We don't care about a baby in a manger. We just care about all the fun and getting drunk and whatever, you know, getting off work and all that. And so the natural man, and so understand, you know, if you're here today and you're not saved, you're not going to understand these things. The Spirit, you're ignoring the Spirit of God. If you're here as a rebel and you're not interested in the things of God, then God's not going to reveal these things to you. But, you know, as you open your heart up to the Lord, he'll show you these things. And that's what Paul wanted. It's all the things that God has for us. And the Bible says back in Ephesians, get back there. I will finish the introduction at least today, it would appear. These things are revealed to us by His Spirit, and if you're not saved, you don't have His Spirit to reveal anything to you. But you'll notice for the Christian, these things in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And these things, the eyes are, it's talking about our heart. It's talking about the eyes of our heart. It's not talking about our physical eyes being able to see. It's we see things with our hearts. We see things in our hearts. And we know these things. It's our inner man. It's our emotions, our mind, and our will. It's to see and understand spiritual things. It's not a matter of intelligence. It's not a matter of education. It's not a matter of, I've gone to Bible college and I know these. No. It's a matter of the heart. And the Spirit of God speaks to our heart. We talk about that often in a service. And we've all experienced, you know, if you're saved today, there was a time God spoke to your heart about that. It wasn't, very rare was the person who the pastor came down from the platform and grabbed you and said, you need to get saved, and pulled you down. We hear about that all the time. I don't know of any instance like that, to be honest with you. I've never done that. I would never do that because it's not flesh. It's not about flesh and blood. It's about the Holy Spirit of God. You know what? If God speaks to your heart about being saved, then you need to get saved. That's who spoke to my heart. Now, I as a soul winner, I'll talk to people as long as I can talk to people. I'll give them the gospel as long as I can. I'll plead with people. But you know what? You cannot make somebody human. My voice cannot affect somebody's heart. And the Holy Spirit of God has to. That's why we're playing games if somehow we think we're going to operate Berean Baptist Church without His Holy Spirit. It is not possible. Oh, we can have an organization because organizations do it all the time. But we're not going to have an organization that is going to please God. It has to be with the Holy Spirit of God doing the work in our hearts. And so, you know, God speaks to people's hearts. I'm amazed how that works as a pastor all these years. as a new pastor starting a church, I'd work on my message, and I've given this illustration, but you get to listen to it again. But it just stays with me. This was so many years ago, and an elderly couple, well, I say elderly, they weren't that old, they were in their 50s. Oh, back then they were elderly. But anyway, they started coming, and the fellow was not saved. And he told me, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. But he kept coming to church. It was right after we started our church. And he kept coming. And boy, I'll tell you what, they came every Sunday morning, all the time, Sunday morning. And I worked on some of the toughest messages I talked about the blood of Jesus Christ, and I talked about the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And I waxed eloquent on Jesus being beaten and crucified. It's so funny because I remember thinking, this is it right here. This message, he's going to get saved. Now, you have to understand, we're only talking, back in those days, 30 to 40 people. It's just a small group. He's the only unsaved. Everybody knows it, you know? I'm thinking this message right here. Well, I'd get in my illustration books. I've got all these books with great, wonderful illustrations. And I'd get the tear-jerking illustrations. I'd get the illustration. Boy, you know, and he wouldn't get saved. I couldn't believe it. And every Sunday morning, I'm working on my best salvation presentation. And I approached it from every direction, and that guy would not move. It was unbelievable. And I was frustrated. And I'll never forget, you know, one Sunday morning, same thing. And I preached a message about being saved and, you know, about heaven and hell, and you need to go to heaven and all that. Guy didn't move. And I thought, what is going on? And then Sunday night, I couldn't believe it. With horror, I look up and there they come. On a Sunday, they never came on Sunday night. And immediately I looked at my message, and I still remember the title of my message was Boo Hoo, I'm So Blue. And I thought, no, 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 this is not a message about salvation. It's not about the cross. It's about discouragement. But I preached that message. Never forget this. And I kind of half-heartedly gave the invitation. If you're not sure you're saved, you know, why don't you come? Immediately, that guy stepped out, and he walked the aisle, and he got saved. On Boo Hoo, I'm So Blue. And it taught me as a young preacher, it is not about whatever I'm doing. It is all about what the Holy Spirit of God is doing. God uses preaching. I understand that. He uses preachers, but he uses people. And you know, somebody remarked at the widow's banquet, they said, our spirit has been so good. Now, that only can mean one thing. That's the Holy Spirit, as we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us and using us and working in us. And that's what it's all about, folks. If you are going to grow as a Christian, it is not going to be because of some great illustration that I give or that some other teacher gives. It is going to be because the Holy Spirit of God uses the scripture, uses the message, uses your Bible time, uses your walk, and speaks to your heart. And that's the real revelation of God in our lives. And speaking to our hearts. Again, that's why we talk so many times about God speaking to our hearts. That's by the way, that's why some of the most spiritual people have never been to Bible college. I'm not saying it's unspiritual to go to Bible college. I'm just saying that doesn't make you spiritual because you went to Bible college. You're spiritual because the Holy Spirit is speaking and you're listening and you're yielding. That's how you become spiritual. Amen? And so that's good. Look at Jeremiah 29, verse 13. He used this just recently. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. Boy, it's warming up in here real well, isn't it? I bet that air conditioning's not even on because we thought, you know, we're not going to need that anymore. We are going to need it. Some of you think, no, it's perfect. My wife would say, this is perfect. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, familiar verse, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. With all your heart. It's opening up our hearts. You know, your brain, that's a good thing. It's all right. You know, take in, read the word, read commentaries and study. That's good. Bible says we're supposed to study. But more important than any of that, it just open up your heart to the Lord and let him reveal to you things. You know, Christian, honestly, here's how we get to feeling, because circumstances, our cars do break. Light bulbs do blow. Washing machines quit. And we don't always feel good, right? Headaches, backaches, toothaches, aches. Arthur, family affects us a lot, right? Arthur and bursts and all the itises, right? And but if we let the Holy Spirit get past all the flesh and all that kind of stuff, he'll reveal, yeah, but look at all that God's done. Look at all the things God has done for me. And what a blessing that is. Real quick, Matthew 13, 13. Brother Glenn, if you want to come, ushers, go ahead and receive the offering. Matthew 13 and verse 13. I'm still on introduction. You say, Pastor, I've wiped out the whole front page. I like it. I just didn't realize I was going to say so much about this introduction. Matthew 13, 13. Scripture says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. So many things may go in, but the Holy Spirit, he reveals what it all means to us. Why is it a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, whoever, can, or even in our own Bible study time, just reading our Bible, why is it a passage can mean one thing one day, and it means that? And it is that, and it affects us that way. But then years later or weeks later, whatever, it affects us a different way. I think that's amazing to me. I run into somebody, you know, they'll say, Pastor, did you preach from that passage? But yeah, I've preached it probably 20 times, that same passage. That's a whole different message with a whole different idea. But then take it the next step, and that is, Holy Spirit, speak to me. I'm amazed as a pastor how many times people, I've preached a message, and somebody said, you know, God spoke to my heart about this. And I look back at my notes, and I think, there's nothing in my notes about that. That's how it should be. Amen? That's how it should be. The Holy Spirit of God does the work. And you know, it's an exciting, exciting thing. That's why you should be growing at home. You can. I've had people say, well, you know, I only can come to church so many times. And yeah, but you're home. You have a Bible in your home. You have the Holy Spirit of God who's there. And you can talk to him anytime. You can walk with him anytime. You can open your heart to him anytime. Let him teach you. Let him show you. Let him reveal these things. And that's exactly what Paul is talking about here. And the very first thing, and we'll at least get to this, as it is on our outline here. The very first, our potential in Christ, we can believe. We can believe. That is, what a blessing to know I can believe. You know, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. And that's what he says here. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord, verse 15. I heard of your faith. I hear that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can believe. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. Doesn't matter what all the other people talk about. We can believe. We can believe in Jesus Christ. Nobody can stop us from that. Nobody can take that away. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like the song we sang, the birthday of the king. And there are people that would say that is so silly while they sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Now, you know, I grew up with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and it's a fun song and everything, but I certainly know better than that. But they would say, well, we know better than Jesus being born of a virgin. That can't happen. But it did happen. And you know what? Nobody's going to convince me otherwise. Nobody's going to convince me otherwise that Jesus came and he lived a perfect life and he died for my sins. I can believe that. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I'm convinced I will only believe stronger the more I read this book and the more I listen. And the farther you get from this book, the more your faith you start to question. We can believe. My potential in Jesus Christ is I can believe. We believe by faith. Look at John 20, verse 29. John chapter 20 and verse 29. We believe by faith. John 20, 29. And the Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. It's by faith. By faith. Blessed are they that have not seen. He's getting after Thomas because Thomas was not present when Jesus first appeared after the resurrection. And finally, you know, Thomas, he is present now, and he looks and he sees the holes and in his hands and in his feet, and he says, oh, I believe. And he says, that's great, that's wonderful, but how about those that, you know what, I've never seen Jesus. I wasn't there when he was crucified. I didn't see it. I didn't see the blood. I didn't see, but I know what my Bible says. I know exactly how it describes the crucifixion and the nailing him to the cross and then laying his body in a tomb, and up from the grave he arose. And I believe because I read it. Amen. By faith, I believe it. By the way, Acts 16:31 tells me then, because of that, Acts 16 and verse 31, they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, talking about the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. It's just, you need to believe, and you can be saved. There isn't any more to it than that. Well, you know, I think you need to take some classes. And well, you know, I'm not against a class necessarily to show you what the Bible says. But once you see what the Bible says, you're next. You just need to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I did that. I did that when I was 17 years old and I was saved. And now I can, the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So everything I do now is I just believe God. Brother Dale and I were talking this morning. We solve all the world's problems before we go to prayer every Sunday morning. It's amazing. But it's always amazing how those problems are all back again. But anyway, we have it all figured out at least for 5 minutes. But we were talking, you know, in reality, you know, with guns and all that kind of stuff, and I'm not anti or a plus. I don't know how many guns. I think I have 3 guns at home. Don't know where the bullet. I'm like Barney Fife. I think I have 1 bullet for each one or something. But the point is, I would never trust in guns. I trust in the Lord. And you know, we people all the time. Well, you know, Pastor, one of these days somebody may come in with a sword and chop off your head. I just hope it's sharp. Amen. I don't want any hacking away at my head. I mean, let's just get the thing off and get it done with. Amen. Oh, you say that? I'm just pointing out. I'm trusting the Lord. Do you know nothing can happen but what He approves? Amen. And I know he gives us wisdom and common sense, and we need to use that. That's why I don't walk in front of semi-trucks. Amen? That's why I don't walk the railroad. You know, he gives us common sense. But on the other side of that, I can just keep trusting him. And that's what we need to do in these days. We're in unique days. You know, well, preacher, what about the debt? What about the economy? What about all that stuff? God is still God. And I've got to trust him. And my God shall supply all your need. And he always does. He always has. He's never failed me. But again, what if you start to doubt? Well, if I start to doubt, then what do I need to do? I need to get back in the book more. Because I don't want to doubt. I want to just keep believing. Why? Because my potential in Christ is to believe my God can do anything. My potential in Christ is to believe he's coming again. He's going to come and get me. And if he doesn't come and get me, I'm going to go get him. Amen? And I believe. Somebody says, well, you know, I don't believe it. Okay, well, go ahead and be miserable. I do. You know? All this Christmas and all this stuff, I don't believe in any of this. Okay, well, go ahead and be a Grinch. You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. But anyway, go ahead and be a Grinch. I don't care. I'm going to just rejoice. And I'm going to rejoice not because it's not snowing. I'm going to rejoice because Jesus came. Don't know what day it was. I just know he came. And you know what? He's coming again. Amen.